Said, what? Said, I can visit Hawaii, but said, I got to get back to the epicenter of Ohio. And they said, really? They said, where is this at? I said, oh, it's a great, magnificent city, and it's coming on strong. And they said, is it Columbus? That's one of the fastest growing cities. I said, Columbus? No, that's old news. Said, that was from the beginning. And they said, oh, well, what about Cleveland? I said, no, Cleveland, that's old news. That's old football, all of it, all that stuff. I said, no. Said, I'm talking to you about Kenton, Ohio. And they said, Kenton? And I said, oh, yeah. I said, that is a great place where God is pouring out. I said, and it's a place that's going to impact the world. And they didn't know. We've already been doing that. You know, we preach in Kenya, Africa, and all over the place. And that would never happen if this place wasn't established. Amen? So I'm just telling you that you are much more important than you believe you are. And that's going to be something that we're going to be talking about over these next sessions. From now till Christmas time, we ain't talking about the devil and sin and all the woe is me stuff. We're going to talk about the resurrection power of the blood. We're going to talk about the power of God to make us into who he said we were. You know, some of us have been in church a long time, and we don't even know who God says we're supposed to be. So I got some insight on that today out of the book of Romans that's really going to stir your spirit up today. And in the meantime, we're just going to rejoice in the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you that we're going to be glad that God has saved us. We're going to be glad that God has redeemed us. And right now, I want to put you on notice that your best days are out in front of you. Some of us are here today because we have been through the worst battles of our life. Some of us are here today because we're doing pretty good and God has been pretty great. And some of us are here because we're just getting started. But I'm just telling you right now, that God waited all this time to have an opportunity to change your life. The Lord loves you. And I will tell you that if God's already been working in your life and you've been in this thing for a while, it's time for you to get your faith up. It's time for you to get your expectation way up. Because I tell you what, even if you've asked God 1,000 things up till now, you've not even begun to touch what God's willing to do for you. Amen. So this morning, we're just going to rejoice and we're just going to press into the Lord and we're just going to be excited about the fact that God is with us. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Stand your feet this morning. Holy Spirit, take my hand now. Lead me out in the living water. You're the wellspring, you stir. Lord, now sing it out loud. Come together.
Inside me, your faithfulness before me.
praise you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, you are worthy this morning. You give a life. Pour out our praise.
Is so worthy of our praise. I know each and every one of us has a story, but my story was I was a drug addict and I was the worst of a man. And when I was at my lowest, God sent this little black man to come to me, and he prayed for me that day. And I was in St. Rita's, and I wasn't in a good situation. I was looking at some time, and some bad things happened to me. But God transformed through that prayer me that day, and everything that going to happen to me changed. Amen. And I was set free, and I never had to go to jail or anything like that. And I've been clean for 5 or 6 years now.
Amen.
And I just praise God, and I thank him, and I thank Pastor Phil for being obedient to God that day and coming after me. I just wanted to say that this morning.
Expect the unexpected, anticipate.
I just want to be in your spirit, especially as we go into 2020. And there's three things here that I want to say. Number one, the faith that saves is the faith that heals us. And listen to me, if you can have a tenacious faith to believe that you're saved, and you should, I'm telling you right now, nobody could take my salvation away from me. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord has saved me. I'm a changed man. And I have every confidence that when I leave this earth, I'm going to heaven. Every one of us, grab a hold of our faith. And I'm telling you that we have a confidence that when this life is over, we're going to heaven. And even though we don't see it, and even though we haven't seen heaven in its fullness yet, and we don't know exactly where it's located, we have a tenaciousness that says, I am going to heaven when I leave this earth. But I want you to know that faith that saves is the faith that heals. And Nate, I appreciate your testimony this morning because you are a healed young man, brother. You've come a long way by the power of God. Yeah, and people would not know, unless you told your story, people would not know your life of addiction and struggles and troubles, because we don't see that on you. You are a changed man. You are Lily's handsome daddy, and you are doing that thing and getting it done in Jesus' name. And what I really want you to understand, every one of you, is the faith that saves is a faith that heals. And we can have a confidence that if God saved us, we can have a confidence that he will and he does heal us. Amen. So I want you guys to grab a hold of that this year. And then the other part I want is, this is your choice. You got to choose to stand your ground. Listen, I want you to know something. The enemy is going to resist you. Listen, everything you grab a hold of that belongs to you in the kingdom of God as humanity, you have a right to be children of God, but the devil wants more than anything to steal your identity and to lie to you and make you think that you are never meant to be anything. And you're going to have to choose to stand your ground. Once you start pursuing God, the devil's not just going to sit there and say, well, there they go. At certain strategic time, he's going to come and try to hit you again. He's going to come and try to take you out. And you have to choose to stand your ground and say, nope, I'm not backing down. I'm standing my ground. The Lord is my God, and I'm his child, and I'm going to live for him. Amen? So let's choose to stand our ground. This time I ain't backing down. No, I'm not backing down. If sickness tries to come after me, I'm not giving up. If something tries to take my money, I'm not settling for it, because I believe that the Lord is going to do what he promised me. Amen? Woo! So we're going to stand in the grace of God, and we're just going to be powerful. Let's just lightly sing that one more time.
I'm choosing to stand my ground. This time I won't back down. I need a miracle. Only believe.
Woo! See, here's what I want you to see. If you can only believe, your day can be changed. But if you can only believe, your life can be changed. And one thing I want you to know is that God never expected you to just have one or two miracles. Listen, God expects to give you a life where over and over, time after time, he meets your needs. Not just your needs, but your wants. Listen, if you got a health issue, God expects you to call upon him, and he expects to get involved. You got a financial issue, God expects you to call on him, and he expects to get involved. You got a relationship issue, God expects you to call on him, and he expects to get involved. He's looking to help. He's looking to be a part. In fact, your faith was given to you because God trusted you that every time you or someone you loved needed help, he trusted you to intercede. He's expecting you to stand in the gap. Listen, your faith is for the people that you need. Amen? You know, speaking of that right now, we got some people that are sick today. My lovely wife, Regina, is sick. Your pastor, the woman that really has faith, the real source of faith in our family, whoo, is sick today, so we're going to lift her up. And then Carol and Vicky are having some challenges and some battles, and we want you to be lifting them up, and both of them need to be encouraged. And then our apostle and pastor over me, Pastor Peter Dosick, he just went through some pretty major, he had to go through some things here. And so we're just going to lift them all up. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I put Pastor Regina before you. I put Carol and Vicky before you, God. And I put Pastor Dosick before you. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are our God, and that, Father, in every battle, in every arena of our life, we rest in you, God, and you give us victory after victory after victory. And, Father, I know that in each situation, Father, you're strengthening them right now. You're healing. You're setting free. You're bringing outcomes, Father, that glorify you and glorify your kingdom and your name, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then Logan and his family are off today. Where's Mr. Logan? Okay. That's right. That's right. Mr. Logan is traveling today and taking care of some things, but we're still blessed with Miss Amber and our new little one over there, My goodness, praise God, looking good and getting big already. And so that reminds me that on the 20th of December, and then again on the 19th of January, those are baby dedication Sundays. So we've had a lot of babies and a lot of babies being added into the church, either by birth or bringing them in. And so we want to take an opportunity to dedicate babies to the Lord. Now, that does not replace salvation. Eventually, they got to get the day of accountability. But it does say that as a parent, you're giving this child's young life to God, and you're believing that God will help you parent, will bless this child, and let this child fulfill the destiny that's in that child by God. Amen? And so that will happen both on the 20th of December and the 19th of January. In the meantime, remember that the week of Christmas, we have our New Year's Eve service that we're going to celebrate together, and then we're going to let you guys enjoy the rest of the week of the holiday. So during these times, it's not my fault if the service afterwards, I preach for 2 hours. Hey, that's because, you know, I've been starving to preach to you, amen? But anyhow, I'm glad that we got through a good Thanksgiving and that we're here and ready. And I heard that the ladies had an outstanding Christmas party for ladies yesterday. Woo! I did hear that at some point there was a little competition there, but everybody survived and loved each other. Hallelujah. And that's what I want you to know. As Christians, you're allowed to have fun. Amen. I want you to know that Jesus expects us to have fun. Amen? And he wants us to have joy and peace and all of that while we're in this relationship with him. And so we don't need to be uptight. We need to be people that love God, and we're real down-to-earth people. Amen? And we can have fun and all kinds of stuff. So I suppose at this point in time, I should let these children go. They're certainly riled up. We only have 2 more weekends, I think, till Christmas, praise God. They're probably having snacks down there and all kinds of stuff. But they will get taught about Jesus. And they do grow each week in the Lord. And so I appreciate our children and our children's pastor. All right, yeah, yeah, he's ready to go now, amen. Praise God, what a blessing. And today we're going to do something a little different. We had some testimonies in the first service. And so today what I want to do is learn from you. I want somebody to come up here and tell me why they believe in tithing and just give me a testimony about tithing and why they believe in tithing and offering and why they trust God in their life. In the first service, we had someone who got blessed with a very nice vehicle without a big payment and all that kind of stuff, without a loan attached to it. And it was a great blessing for them. And then we have another testimony, but I just want to see who out there wants to come and tell why they believe in tithe and offering and why they give and anything like that. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Turn this thing on and be ready.
Okay, a long time ago when we first started tithing, didn't know about tithing much, but sometimes the bank account wasn't there, but when you tithe,
amen,
it seemed like there was always money there, even though you didn't have the money.
Amen.
Bills and everything, so we always got paid. But now that we've tied up a lot, we're really blessed. We've got a new house.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hey, Brother Dave, stand there just for a minute, because one thing he's not telling you about the house is telling the miracle what happened on the day that you...
Well, Pastor was telling us it'd be 10 days from when we heard from our house. It was actually the 10th day that we sold our house. We bought our house at 1 o'clock on a Friday. We sold our other house at 4 o'clock that same day.
Praise God. Our God is a miracle-working God. Amen? How many of you have ever heard a story of someone selling a house at 1 and receiving, or buying a house at 1 and receiving and selling a house at 4 and just walking in the blessing of God? Amen?
Amen?
I tell you what, our God is always on time, and our God will always provide for us. And so that's a great story, a great blessing. And listen, that miracle will be a part of their testimony from this day forward. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Is there anybody else who has a story about the goodness of God? Okay, my goodness, I hear something.
So you're asking why we tithe.
Amen.
For me, it's enough that he says to do so, that if you will tithe, then he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. For me, that's enough. But in the last few years, we went through probably the roughest season of our life, and there's no earthly explanation for why we still had money in our account. Amen. Why we were still able to buy groceries. Not just groceries, but we ate steak.
Amen. Come on, girl. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are in Ohio. Corn and beef is good.
Amen.
Amen.
But he lays up provision for you.
Amen.
If you will be obedient, amen, and tithe, then he will open up the windows of heaven. And we've been an example of that blessing that he's just poured out on us because we tithe, because, amen, we've been obedient to just do what he says. Sometimes it's not about... Now, faith is important, so when I say that, sometimes it's not about faith so much as it is being obedient, mm-hmm, just doing what he asks you to do. Mm-hmm. And he asks us to tithe. So for us, we tithe, and we tithe faithfully.
Amen. And you have always seen the protection of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I'm going to let Miss Linda come up here. She gave a testimony in the first service, and this is an interesting testimony.
Okay, so you know how we all just went on vacation, but we this year just purposed to make sure that even in our duties to the Lord, like worship or children's church, that we're going to still make sure that we tithe, because sometimes we get home and we forget. So we just purposed that in our heart. We wanted to go deeper. And we have this trip coming, and we'd already paid for Disney, but we still had, the boys have to eat. So our natural plan was we'll buy them food, we will share a meal or not eat, and then that would be taken care of. And we just were believing God, and Pastor Phil spoke into us to rest. Because if you know me, I like to figure it all out. I like to plan it out, and I like to have everything crossed and ready to go. Right. So I told us, we just had complete peace that God was going to take care of us. And yes, we didn't have to go to Disney, but we wanted to take our kids there. And he spoke just to rest and to have peace. And so I made sure I reminded Jared, Pastor Phil said rest, and let's just stand in that. Well, I'd fallen asleep, and on the couch, and Jared had started pulling out suitcases because I asked him, because I'd hurt my finger and I couldn't pull down stuff. So I was trying to be honoring to that and not have to get even more stitches in my finger.
Amen.
And being a good listener. And he woke me up with this really bewildered look on his face, and he had wads of cash in his hands.
So, amen,
I was like, what is going on? And we counted it. There was $725 of mouse money, because our house was infested with mice when we bought it, and we bought it on a short sale. And this happened to be an item that was still left in the house, was this suitcase. So I'm like, go check again. So he went and found $5 more. So we had $730 in this, and it covered the shortage that we needed outside of like our what we were going to have that week. So God was so faithful to us that we were able, and we had gotten blessed with other meals being paid for, but God just took care of us, and we just rested and trusted in him.
Amen.
$730 four or five years later, it was still in our house.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I like it, because earlier she said there's a couple times where they almost threw that suitcase out.
Yep.
Because it was just the old leftover item, and for whatever reason, they'd go to throw it out, and then they'd keep it. Well, God knew what was in there, amen? And here's what I want you to know, is that one thing I love about this is we have testimonies about what we know to be needs, like a house. Of course, now, in this case, these guys had a nice house, but they wanted a different house, and they got that house. But also, I love this because now we hear a testimony that's more about vacation and God meeting a want more than a need. And I like to put you Christians on notice, because it's hard enough for me to get you to quit praying about your needs. The Bible says that the Lord knows that you have need of things. And when you're tithing and offering, You don't have to be tripping over yourself for God to meet your needs on a day-to-day basis. Your God is going to do that. But also, I want you to know something, that the Bible does not say, the Lord is my shepherd, he will meet my need. No, the scripture says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Woo! Hey, praise God. And what I want you to know is that I love you guys. But the Bible says that if you will do tithing and offering, the Bible says, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you do not have room enough to contain. I will tell you what, the Lord is not going to be satisfied until you are completely blessed and able to give to every good work. I want you to know something, that it should be common practice that you have more than enough for yourself and other things as well. Listen, I want you to know something, Steve, that God would love for you to have enough to take care of your family and enough sitting in the bank that when a need came across and you felt him tell you, you could just reach out and take care of someone. Buy them a meal, take care of them, even pay a bill for someone. God would love for you to have enough, Steve, that you could be a blessing and an answer to other people. And in being a blessing and an answer to other people, God knows that you're going to tell them, hey, I'm doing this because God told me to do this for you, and I want you to be blessed because God's a good God. And remember, he'll do that for you. Amen? See, sometimes as Christians, if we don't allow ourselves to get out of religion and into relationship, we will hinder what God really has to do for us. Amen? So I'm telling you that in 2020, we're going to talk about the goodness of God. You know what? For far too long, we've been overwhelmed with the burden of people telling us about sin and telling us about the devil, and it's time for us to just shut that stuff up and talk more about Jesus and the blood and how you live out without sin. We need to know how we can be blessed. We need to know how God touches us. We need to know that we're not under the burden and the oppression of sin and darkness, and that our God is a good God, and our God will meet our needs, but our God also wants us to have wants and blessings in our life. The Bible says that in this life, the Lord will give us 100-fold, and in the life to come, eternal life. God is not afraid for you to be blessed on this earth. In fact, he wants you to be blessed on this earth. He has an expectation of you being blessed because you're supposed to be the light to the world. Your life and your light is supposed to shine and let God know and have a word in your mouth of why people see the blessing on you. Amen? So we're going to be people that just keep letting these testimonies come. I mean, how in the world do you sell a house and buy a house all in this, buy a house and sell a house all on the same day? Buy at one, sell at four. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, here we are. And how in the world do you go to bed getting ready to go to vacation halfway around the, you're getting ready to go all the way to Florida to vacation. You're not set on having enough, the money you would like to be able to feed everybody. You take a nap, wake up, resting in God, and boom, $700-something is in your hand. Only God can do those kinds of miracles. I remember one time years ago, I was reading a study for, and I was reading, and R.W. Shambach was a man that said, you ain't got any problems. All you need is faith in God. And he had someone who was going and had came and sowed a seed, and they had a vehicle that was broken down, and so they sowed a seed for this vehicle to get fixed. And they went home, and they opened the hood, and they were looking around this vehicle trying to figure out, and guess what? There was like $2,000 to $3,000 tucked down in that, a motor of that vehicle. I'm telling you, people, God can do the miraculous if you would just get your brain out of the way and let God. We're carved in fear, we're carved in doubt, we're carved in stress, but I want you to know, why don't you just get carved in faith? Why don't you just rest in him? I mean, we've rested in everything else. We've rested in our own ways, we've rested in our own fears, we've rested in our own ways of doing it, we've rested in letting the devil beat us up every day. Why don't we rest in him and make that our new pattern of life? Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just take these words and these testimonies of your people, God, being obedient, and seeing God provide. Even when things went a different way than Holly and Brian had believed, seeing God just provide for David and Stacy, and Lord, just seeing God provide for Jared and Linda and their family, Father, just knowing how good you are, God. Father, that you will do that which is impossible, that you do always work on our behalf, even when we don't see it. God, I just declare your blessing upon every person here, Father. And Lord, I bless those that are able to give today, and the blessing of God will be upon them. And Father, those who do not have something to give today, Lord, I just pray that you would open up seed for them, Father. You would open up seed and provision so sowing would be a part of their life so that they can partake in your covenant, God. And Lord, I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Only believe in the name of Jesus, faith that saves, faith that heals us. Only believe in the name of Jesus. Only believe in the name of Jesus, faith that saves, faith that heals us. Only believe in the name of Jesus.
Praise the name of the Lord. Woo! Well, I tell you what, I'm glad that we've all celebrated Thanksgiving and we can all focus on Christmas now, and we're believing to finish this year strong. And one of the things we've been doing is we were talking about the lifestyle of the kingdom and living in the place where God really wants us to. And within that, we made the statement according to Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. And immediately when you start looking at the just living by faith, along with that comes some responsibility that I want to share with you today. And I want to share that responsibility, and that responsibility is that if the just are going to live by faith, we got to do it God's way. And immediately upon accepting the responsibility of doing it God's way, we have to start recognizing that means that we can no longer do it our way. We can't do it the way of the world. We can't do it the way of Google. Listen, I don't want to hear what Dr. Phil has to say. I don't want to hear what Facebook has to say. I don't want to hear any of those things. What I want to hear is what God says about how we're supposed to live, because what God says for humanity to do is right. Amen? Listen, God is our creator. God is the one that made us. God is the one that has chosen us. I don't know if you know it or not, but every time your parents came together, however that happened and however you're born, every time they came together, there was 4 million opportunities for life to be born. I don't think people realize this, but in the exchange between a man and a woman, there's 4 million opportunities for life. And out of those 4 million opportunities, there has to be a process where God handpicks you and snatches you out of the opportunities and seals you into that position to come forth. And before you know it, you are in your mother's womb, and you are not by accident. You are not by happenstance. You are the divine will of God. Now, I got to tell you something, that from the time you are born, even sometimes before you're born, Steve, even in the womb, the enemy can start trying to devise plans of hatred and bitterness to try to kill you off. And when you are born, I'm telling you, from the time you're a baby in the manger, just like Jesus, do you understand?